Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
The Irish population is growing four times as fast as the economy can build new homes. That 4-to-1 ratio is far higher than comparable nations such as Germany or Australia. That's the result of a study from Savills, which comes hot on the heels of Chartered Surveyors saying that house prices and rents here were simply too high. Savills also thinks that some of the issues with soaring rental prices may have arisen due to Central Bank of Ireland rules curbing lending to households. John Ring is the Director of Research with Savills and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Joe.
Let's start with the surge in population. It's had an impact on housing.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've done in our study is look at across 9 advanced economies across the world and look where Ireland places amongst them for basically population growth versus housing units delivered. So that's a good metric, obviously, of assessing how much housing we have and how much is needed, etc. So what we found is Ireland over the period 2015 to 2013 delivered just under 4 people per one unit. So that's either through natural population growth or migration. So there's about 3.8 people for every unit of residential delivered over that time period.
So this could be a new flat or a new house?
Any new type of residential dwelling, yeah.
But way more people are either coming on the market or emigrating here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think what's really important in this analysis to look at is that why is Ireland different? So again, just running through some of the headline numbers, you know, if we look at the 3.8 ratio and how that stacks up first, you know, that's the next highest country is Spain with 3.4. But if after that, it drops off quite sharply. Canada's 2.9, United Kingdom 2.1, you know, and Australia's 1.9. So we're double Australia, nearly double the UK. And then if you look at the United States, they've about 1.5 residential units completions for every one person population, 1.5 people population growth per every one unit. Mm. And Germany's actually creating more houses than people. So it's got 0.9. And what are the factors of that? And I think, I guess, what from our study here looks at is that it's really what differentiates Ireland is the extent of population growth, right? And especially actually natural population growth. So we've the highest natural population growth in Europe by some distance. And it's expanding by about 0.4% a year, which is about 20,000 people. So that's the base. If you contrast that with Germany, their population is actually falling on a natural basis by about 333,000 per year. And that actually symmetrically converts to negative 0.4% per year. So,
but I was always taught that demography is destiny. And that if you're producing more people, that's going to be good for your economy and good for society. I mean, I think the Japanese and the Germans and the Italians and many countries would love the population growth that we have, but we just can't seem to build the houses. Is that it?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So Japan is going from 140 million currently to 40 million in 100 years. So what does that say? They've too many houses over the long term.
Mm. So and not enough babies.
Exactly, yeah. So that's it.
And no, they also don't have immigration.
Yeah. So look, Ireland, I think, is a victim of its own success in terms of that we are a very fast population growth. It's just, it makes it harder to build the level of homes. But that's a crucial point in terms of looking at across Europe. We can't look to Germany. Many times people reference Germany and on the continent, and we need to be more like the countries. Our situation is on a different plane. So it means that we must be much more aggressive in our housing policy and building out.
Well, I think all governments know that. I mean, especially this particular government and definitely the opposition parties know that you've got to build more houses. Mm. But in terms of house prices and rents, we're not in a good place because both of them are going up too fast.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, if we looked at house prices versus income growth, Ireland's actually middle of the road. So despite our supply dynamic there versus population versus housing growth, we're actually, in the countries that we surveyed, we're actually middle of the road. So, and the reason for that really is the central bank rules, which kept a cap on the amount that people can borrow. If you look at Canada, for example, their house prices grew by more than 81% over their incomes. You know, so that's a huge difference. For Ireland, it was 39%, so it's still high, but it was about half that rate. And obviously, you know, we've been through the experience of the global financial crisis, so I think that is a positive.
And that's the reason that the Central Bank of Ireland, of course, put these limits in place so that we wouldn't have another bubble like we saw before. I did message the Central Bank of Ireland to see what their thoughts are, because I sent them your report because it was so good, obviously, John. And they did get back to me, and they said, the Central Bank spokesman said, the growth in rents relative to incomes in Ireland reflects the underlying imbalance between demand and supply of housing, including the rental market. Changes to the mortgage measures cannot address that underlying imbalance between housing demand and supply. The best path is to an increased ability to save for a deposit is a higher supply of rental properties, which will lower rental cost burdens for those in the rental sector. Which I think they're taking on board what you've said, but they're saying there's only so much that we can do.
Yeah, sure. Look, again, to reiterate, we do agree with the central bank rules. But also I think the central bank probably needs to recognise that, you know, they're concerned not with house prices, but they're concerned with the financial stability of Irish households, and higher rents, etc., does impact Irish balance sheets. And how is that happening? So basically what we're seeing in the lack of supply, it's been funneled more through the rental side. So what's the policy implications? We're not for 1 minute suggesting that we get rid of the macroprudential rules. What we're suggesting, for example, is that why the Help to Buy scheme is so important. So last year, 60% people used the Help to Buy to buy a home last year. And we haven't changed the limits in that since it was introduced, you know, 8 years ago. So,
and house prices have gone crazy in the last 8 years.
Well, if you were to adjust it based on house prices, you put the cap at 720. Now, you don't want to be chasing house prices, but I think what a prudent thing to do would be to adjust it for general inflation. So if you were to do with CPI inflation, it would go up to 614,000. And that's probably a good policy solution.
What's the limit now?
So it's 500,000.
Okay. Now, you also talked about interest rates and sustained low interest rates, which was the case up to 2 years ago, and the impact that that has had.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it comes back to that affordability piece. I think that that bubble, in some ways created by low interest rates, Ireland was resilient to that. Again, going back to Canada, even the Netherlands, country obviously within Europe, so they saw their house prices grow by 72% versus income or differential over income. So I think, again, that piece where Ireland is insulated from that is an important point. But on the rental side then, Ireland was by far the worst in terms of looking at how much rental prices have increased relative to incomes. So what does that say? We're not building enough rental units. And a lot of the policies that we have in place are countering the supply of new rental policy or new rental units. So, for example, we know this year that new housing stock to the built-to-rent sector is falling 30%. And because stocks have dried up, we're looking at another 50% fall next year. And a big impact to that is the rental caps. And if we look at, I think this is a really good example where we've introduced rental caps back in 2017, 2016, and we still have had the highest rental inflation. So while it gives an appearance of helping, you know, control rental inflation, it actually doesn't work in the long term. What you end up is worse housing supply and higher rents.
John, thanks very much for coming in. That's John Ring, the Director of Research with Savills here in Ireland.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.